Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Alpha Talks Editors Roundtable, What Moved Markets This Week, for the week ending Friday, March 12th, 2021. A very interesting week that started off with some selling until one David Tepper came in with his call, basically being bullish on stocks and bearish on bonds. And that lifted things and caused some pretty sustained buying that has, for the most part, persisted through today, Friday. The major indices are up for the week. The NASDAQ has been banged around a little bit, up one day, down the next. It is now down about 1% for today, Friday, as we record this around noon. But I am very curious about what my co-panelists have to say about all this, and let me introduce them now. I am joined once again by, in no particular order, Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News. I am your host, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors here at Seeking Alpha. All right, let's start off with Kim, as we normally do, to give us the big picture overview of what moved markets this week.
Well, this week we've had some unpredictable trading, I'd say, especially if you're looking at the NASDAQ, which has been up one day, down the next, back up again. And I think we've got a lot of push and pull between the tech dip buyers who keep coming in and scooping up shares when it gets to their liking, and then the rate jitters crowd who's, you know, gotten the eye on the 10-year yield and, you know, worrying about spikes that are going to, you know, hit the mega cap stocks again. It was an interesting week for the yields. I mean, everybody was kind of pretty tame for most of through the week until today, when they're kind of the spiking right through 1.6% on the 10-year. Looks like it's Biden's promise to have all adults eligible for the vaccine by May 1st. It's giving kind of another excuse to push bond prices down. You know, but the Treasury market did navigate some things that were supposed to be stumbling blocks, like these had three big auctions of treasuries, which had pretty much tepid demand, but didn't have much impact on yields and certainly not on stocks, even though the stock market had one eye on them. And also an interesting thing I saw is the divergence we're seeing between the NASDAQ and the Dow, which is getting obviously a price-weighted index. The Dow is getting a lot of boost from the cyclicals like Boeing and Goldman Sachs. And a bespoke investment group came out with a chart kind of showing that when these really big days of splits between the price of the NASDAQ or the gains of the NASDAQ and the drop of the Dow or vice versa are clustered around points that usually are right before another leg up in equities. So we'll see about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it wasn't all Tepper here. There were a couple of economic reports, specifically the inflation report that came in pretty much exactly in line with expectations, that kind of put some of these fears aside, at least where the bond market was concerned. And then we also had an initial jobless claims yesterday that was also pretty much in line with estimates, but either way, not enough to get people freaking out one way or the other. All right, where does that leave us with winners and losers, Brad?
So try something a little different this week, given the fact that as we did mention, it was just broad-based buying across the board. There were only about 13 or, you know, a handful of losers in the S&P 500 this week, basically because of all this pro-cyclical buying and just general optimism that persisted. Some of the losers were, you know, the interesting names that had already run up this past month in the double digits, like Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise, and Live Nation. But we had some COVID scares to kind of, you know, take some of the shine off those cruise lines. And GE was also a big loser, but that's just because they had a major divestiture / merger agreement that didn't go as well as analysts had hoped. I guess it muddies the water for some of the remaining business units that are struggling from a structural basis. So given the fact that it just you know, several hundred of the S&P constituents were higher, I figured it'd be best to look at some different winners in the market that we don't normally speak about. And the one main winner that I saw was direct listings generally. Roblox was the big new found publicly traded entity. It's a gaming platform, RBLX, opened for trading this week 50% above its reference price. So the reference price for some is just, it's an exchange set approximation of where the stock should trade. And obviously the market makers deemed that there was enough demand to warrant opening the shares 50% above what where it had previously been trading in the private markets. I guess part of that is maybe the fact that 50% of America's children are all on this platform in some or way or another. So, you know, check your kids' screen time if you're not already. And then the second winner that I saw was NFTs. Non-fungible tokens. So if we thought the Bitcoin craze has been picking up steam, take a look at the NFT world, where this is basically a crypto asset. It could be anything. It could be sports videos that, you know, a snippet from the NBA that will sell for $100,000, basically, and I guess the rights to an image. And then the notable news this week was, I guess, an artist who had stitched together thousands of JPEG images or something along those lines, named Beeple, who sold that JPEG crypto image for $69 million in an auction. And these NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, can be just about anything. So they can be GIFs or GIFs or memes or just about whatever you'd like to kryptonize.
In fact, I this week, I offered up for sale my tweets. I've been tweeting since 2008, and the starting price is $1 million. If you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter and get in touch with me there. But
what's the
really
price for Jack Twitter's, Jack Dorsey's initial tweet up to?
How much did he get?
Is the bidding closed yet? I know the last price was pretty high.
Above 2 million last time, but
okay, so I'm half of that, so that's not terrible.
Actually, but ARK Invest was out saying that NFTs are going to unlock more value for content creators than anything in history.
We'll see. I mean, a lot of people, and I kind of have to agree with this a little bit, would say that this is just a sign of interest rates being too loose for too long, there being too much money sloshing around the system, and this being yet another sign of peak markets. At least peak risk taking if you're investing in these digital assets that are worth, you know, literally exactly what people are bidding for them with no underlying intrinsic value of any kind.
Look at stamps, baseball cards, they've all been around for quite some time. What true value do they have but what people want to pay?
Yeah, but I mean, baseball cards are something that were manufactured. I know it's a little cardboard thing, but at least it's a physical thing. You know, these are just, anyway, whatever.
There's hardly a business cycle that goes by where Jim Grant or someone of that ilk doesn't point to a Christie's auction of some piece of artwork selling for $175 million and saying, yeah, this is the result of the casino society we have. So now we can say the same thing about NFTs. So.
Yeah, good point. Stephen, while I have you, what caught your eye this week and what are you thinking about?
A couple things. One is as Kim talked about, kind of the continued kind of rotation or out of the NASDAQ and into the Dow, and it's really the reversal of the COVID play, right? So this doesn't take place in a day. This built up over a long time. The NASDAQ's outperformance built up over all last year, and I think it's going to continue to unwind as we reopen. So the COVID stocks are going to need a new storyline for that their next run higher, and a lot of these stocks that have been beaten down because of the lockdowns, you know, they should be doing just fine as the economy reopens, as the stimulus money starts to hit. So I think it's going to be a kind of a recurring thing, you know, over the coming months. As far as specific corporate news, a story we did about Disney. Their streaming service is at 100 million subscribers now. And 4 weeks ago, it was about 86 million. And 4 weeks before that, it was in the low 70 millions. So really stunning growth. We've talked about it before in the show. They've turned themselves in a space of a few months into a streaming company. Their gains have been great. The gains for some of the other broadcasters who have also morphed into streaming companies, think of Viacom, Discovery, have been extraordinary, and they're kind of coming at the expense of Netflix, which is struggling. There's obviously going to there's a lot more competitors now, and they're all going to have to spend, you know, big bucks for content. And I think that's given a little bit of a hit to Netflix.
Mm. Yep. All right, let's take this. That takes us to the section of the week where we discuss favorite stories. I initially intended this section to be where we discuss articles from contributors, but with all of my co-panelists being on the news side, they ended up discussing news stories, which is fine as well. But let's start with Kim.
Well, I'm just going to follow up on what Steve just said about streaming. And, you know, I think Viacom CBS is now looking at a 12th straight day of gains. There's a couple of competing opinions. Moffat Nathanson says that Paramount Plus is enough for Viacom to now be considered a growth stock, but City is, as was out bullish today, pointing to Paramount Plus and the strength of this. And it's like, there's too many, you know, tailwinds to be bearish on it. But also how Netflix is out today. We have a story out today about how Netflix is looking to stop people from sharing their passwords. Mm. And that's something that they've always kind of turned a blind eye to. It's been something that they've never really been enforcing, but now people are seeing things, messages pop up on their screen saying, well, you have to be in the same household if you're going to use this password, and then ask to either put in a text or an email code that's sent to verify.
That. I think they can defer that too. I think it's like a soft hurdle at this point. I don't think they're all too serious, but we'll see.
Yeah, now with 200 million subscribers, obviously they're looking for, and you know, Disney's, you know, kind of catch is like, you know, in their rearview mirror. They're going to look for something kind of moves to get some revenue out of the people that are sharing with all their buddies.
Yeah, there's a Bruce Springsteen song, 57 Channels and Nothing On, from the early 90s, when cable news and cable channels were kind of adding all these channels. And it kind of reminds me a little bit, because there's all these cable, streaming channels, but there doesn't seem to be anything I really want to watch. You guys ever have that experience? Like, I'll open up Amazon Prime. No. Netflix. No. YouTube. No. And then I just end up doing whatever.
Read a book.
Never.
Maybe.
What's that?
Do you open a book?
No. No, absolutely not. No. Maybe a Kindle, but books
I can always find something. There's like 50 seasons of CSI out there. There's always something.
You got to find a good series.
But then that's like a too big of a commitment for me to start. Like, you know, then it's just like, no. And then I'll be up all night watching it. And it's just like, maybe that's just a personal problem. Okay. Brad, what about you? Favorite stories?
Speaking of 57 whatevers and nothing on, we can talk about electric vehicle upstarts and how so many of them are now struggling. Over the past few weeks, the share prices have come down dramatically. There's been something like $750 billion in market cap lost over the past 3, 4, 5 weeks. That has come out of Tesla, that's come out of NIO and XPeng and Lordstown Motors, which just had a short call on it just today, and quite a few names. And a lot of that is due to the same issues that Steve and Kim were just referring to in the streaming wars. This is just, there are concerns about competition. And also, you know, is there just enough money to be made all around? I guess the flip side of that coin is Volkswagen just this past week mentioned that they expect 70% of the European car market will consist of electric vehicles at one point. But it's obviously whether these companies will grow into their valuations, which have just gotten so far potentially ahead of where they need to be. As we all know, Tesla does make money. A lot of it is due to tax credits. And they're the leader in the space. So where does it leave all these other names like Fisker? But I guess it was just interesting to me that we have a lot of these names that are 30 to 50% off of their 52-week highs. So if you were looking for a chance to get into a name like Workhorse or others like that, you know, and you wanted to buy on the dip, you're seeing that dip now. But all these big numbers being thrown around, $750 billion in market cap, you know, leaving the EV space, that's an entire Facebook disappearing. That's half a Google. And then when I was looking through some of our old FANG favorite names where we were all incredulous as they all eclipsed the $1 trillion mark, they'll look now, Microsoft's $1.8 trillion, Apple's $2 trillion. And an analyst just this week on Apple said that they could be a $3 trillion company if they too get into the car space. So a lot of moving parts, no pun intended.
Yeah, nice. I see what you did there. What comes after a trillion? Does anybody know? What's like a trillion? What is it, a thousand?
Quadrillion.
Really? All right. Well, yep. We may need to dust off that vocabulary soon. Stephen, what about you? Favorite stories?
Ted Mathis. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's the chairman and CEO of New York Life, a little insurance company with $700 billion in assets under management. He's joined the board of New York Dig, which is New York Digital Investment Group, crypto, Bitcoin. So, and he also is chairman of a group of life insurers with $7 trillion in assets under management. So the story is the institutional acceptance of Bitcoin, it continues to take leaps forward. The price of Bitcoin this week, it was up a bit. It challenged all-time high. It's not really a call about the price of Bitcoin. It's more a call about the institutional acceptance. You combine that with what PayPal's been up to. They purchased Curve this week. I think they finally closed on that deal, which is kind of digital, like online security, digital security, we'll call it. And, so we're pretty close to having basically a full crypto bank, like in your, on your phone at this point, that you can actually transact with merchants, that you can save, you can do whatever you want with it. So to me, that was a really fun story this week.
Okay. I'm thinking of something snide to say about crypto and Bitcoin, but I'm coming up with nothing.
Well, that might be the top.
What's that? That might be the top. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you can't find it.
You exhausted all the snide remarks.
Right. I was going to say, wow, so we can actually transact. We can buy things online thanks to crypto. We could never do that before.
Wow.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We look forward to speaking to you again next week. Reminder that if you are listening only and not watching, there is a video accompanying this with all kinds of neat stuff that you can check out on the website seekingalpha.com/videos. That's it. Have a nice weekend, and we look forward to speaking to you again next week.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.